racing is exploding in this country. In 2009, there were 45,000 grass races run in the U.S. In 2016, the number had skyrocketed to 59,000. And we're not just talking about $35,000 claiming races. In 2017, more than 40% of the graded stakes races held in the U.S. will be run on the turf. At Fasig Tipton, someone was paying attention. The sales company just announced a new sale, the September 10 Turf Showcase, which will spotlight yearlings suited for the turf. On this weekend's Thoroughbred Daily News podcast, Fasig Tipton president and CEO Boyd Browning talks about the new and innovative sale and other things going on at Fasig Tipton. But first, this message from our good friends at TaylorMade.
TaylorMade, where customer success is our primary focus.
Final furlong of the Toyota Bluegrass. IRAP with the lead. Practical Joke giving all he's got. IRAP 31-1 wins the Toyota Bluegrass.
Innovation, horsemanship, and remarkable customer service. Here's what some of our most satisfied customers have to say.
This is George Softley of Stamford, Kentucky. I just want to say that I've been doing business with TaylorMade since the mid-90s, and I could not do business with a better organization. They are very efficient. They treat me like family. They've helped me in my private sales. In whatever part of the horse business that I've wanted to go into, they have been very successful for me.
Hey, this is Ted Nichols, breeder of Teddy's Promise, and had a great experience with TaylorMade. They sold her for me for $1 million, which I'm very grateful because I wanted her to be promoted as a broodmare because she was so successful as a racing filly and mare, and they did an excellent job. I was very grateful for what they did, and it was a great experience working with Duncan Taylor for the last 5 years.
Discover what TaylorMade can do for you. Visit TaylorMadeFarm.com.
But look at Teflin! Teflin! Oh, she was huge today! Mondelez runs a length for second, but Teflin and Julia Le Perroux have dominated the Breeders' Cup Mile.
Wise Dan coming after Cyan and Grand Arch. Wise Dan gets his head in front. The first $1 million race in Keeneland history. The Shadwell Turf Mile to Wise Dan with a breathtaking stretch rally.
Chiquita and Main Sequence on the far outside, and here he comes. Main Sequence forging to the front. A perfect year for Main Sequence. And Lady Eli, just like that, takes the lead on the inside of Sunset Bowl. Civilier is up to third on the inside, but it's Lady Eli into Rad Ortiz with a green run and a Breeders' Cup victory.
This is Bill Finley with this week's Thoroughbred Daily News podcast. You could always find horses like Teppan, Wise Dan, Main Sequence, or Lady Eli at the sales, but you can also, if you really try, find a needle in a haystack. Yearling sales have traditionally been geared towards dirt horses, and those interested in finding a horse with a future on the turf had to look especially hard. That's about to change as Fasig Tipton will be holding the inaugural Turf Showcase sale in September. We welcome their president and CEO, Boyd Browning, to discuss this new and interesting concept. Welcome, Boyd, and first of all, the obvious question, what was the impetus for this sale? Why'd you come up with this idea?
Well, first of all, Bill, thanks for having me on today, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk about our Turf Showcase. You know, there were a number of factors that led us to come up with this showcase idea that we're going to inaugurate in 2017. And really in no particular order. I mean, some of the statistics that you mentioned are played at the beginning of the podcast with the significant increase in grass racing in the United States was clearly a factor. We were surprised, and honestly, I was shocked and frankly a little embarrassed when if someone would have asked me 6 months ago, you know, what percentage of graded stakes in the United States were run on the turf, I would have probably said 15% to 20%, and lo and behold, the number is over 40%. We also looked around and we saw the great success of American bred horses competing in top grass races throughout the world, but, you know, particularly at Royal Ascot last year, I think it really opened a lot of our eyes. In the North American racing and breeding world, to see, you know, those horses go and compete at the absolute highest level and was really kind of a source of pride and recognition. You know, we also looked around and you know, there's a lot of really intelligent people in the thoroughbred industry, and we try to emulate some of the actions of the leaders. But the major stallion farms in central Kentucky were making a significant commitment to stallions that had a quote-unquote turf pedigree or had a turf racing record. You look around and you just see the dramatic change in stallion rosters with horses like Noble Mission at Lane's End, Flintshire going to Hillendale, the last, you know, Tourist, who was a turf horse, winner of the Turf Mile last year, going to Windstar. You see Claver being very active and with some turf stallions. You see the commitment Calumet's made. You know, Ashford's always had some grass influences, but our customers, the really bright people, the leaders in the industry, had made a commitment, and we looked around and we thought that this might be an opportunity. It might be an underappreciated segment of the market that we could help change the perception and provide a new outlet for breeders.
And you mentioned Royal Ascot, and that is obviously played a major role. What Wesley Ward and Mark Cassie and Graham Motion have done over there have certainly opened people's eyes, as you've said. But another thing that I think has changed the perception of the way the world looks at American turf sires is one horse, Kitten's Joy. I mean, it's 20 years ago, it was unimaginable that a turf horse could stand in America and have the kind of success that he has had. How much has he changed the equation?
You know, he's dramatically. You know, it's remarkable to think what Mr. and Ms. Ramsey have done with Kitten's Joy. As you mentioned, not only, you know, perennial leading sire, turf sire in North America, but on the, you know, they've introduced him to it throughout the world. But not only from the racing perspective, but, you know, from the stallion market and from the sales market. I mean, Kitten's Joy is, you know, we're standing for $100,000. He's become a have to have sire for many, many racing operations, both domestically and internationally. And he's had a profound effect, and he did it the hard way. I mean, he absolutely, you know, more and more kudos to Mr. and Ms. Ramsey, Mark Parkridge, their team. You know, I think some people probably questioned their sanity at times when they were going through the process, and not only have they accomplished it, they've been richly rewarded both in the winner circle and in the stallion world, but it's been a labor of love for them, and hats off to them. It's been a remarkable accomplishment.
Boyd, I'm sure you're expecting a smaller book for this sale than a traditional yearling sale, but do you have any prediction on the number? Are we talking 100 horses, 200, or is that anybody's guess?
I think it's anybody's quote-unquote guess. We're not looking. I think the reality is it's probably somewhere between the two numbers that you threw out there. It's important for us. I think Phasic Tipton, we've made our reputation, and I think the buyers at our selected sales have confidence in us, and it's important for us to put good quality physical individuals in the sale. And certainly we want to get it off on a right foot. So the quantity of horses is not nearly as important to us as the quality of horses. You've got to have a sufficient size to attract buyers. But we're looking to put together a nice group with a broad cross-section of stallions represented that we think will have worldwide appeal. And including that worldwide appeal is a significant emphasis in America also. I mean, there's, we kind of started off thinking this was going to have a primary international appeal. And, you know, as we looked around, there's, you know, a lot of top owners and trainers in America as well that have a lot of success on the turf. So we'll be recruiting buyers from all over the world, including America.
Boyd, I could be proven wrong in September, but this seems like a terrific idea and long overdue. Are you somewhat surprised or maybe even a little bit embarrassed that nobody thought of this before?
Well, I think, you know, change is always difficult, and there's always a little risk involved with a new idea or a new innovation. Yes, I'm a little surprised. As I told you at the outset, I was a little embarrassed to learn that over 40% of the greatest stakes in America were run on turf. I mean, it's it's sales company neglect on my part. It's my responsibility. I should have known that. But, you know, I think there was always been kind of a, not a negative perception, but an underappreciation of turf pedigrees, of turf stallions in the marketplace. And, you know, every now and then you just got to say, we're going to grab the bull by the horns and we're going to try to change that perception. And it's really a matter of education. And I think that's one of the things that the sale will help to accomplish is to demonstrate the level of opportunities to get the word out there about the enormous racing potential. And my goal and my hope is that there will be some racing operations that may not have traditionally shopped in North America that will come to the yearling sales as a result of this, as well as some racing operations that race in North America and saying, hey, we need to have a few turf runners in our racing program. So it's, you know, there's some real opportunities and potential if we properly execute it. And we're going to have to make a commitment to make it work for not only 2017, but for the long run.
Understand it's a little bit early in the game. We're 5 months or so away from the sale. But what have you heard so far from the breeders and the consigners? What kind of level of optimism and enthusiasm have they relayed to you?
I think overwhelmingly positive. You know, have had a lot of interest and had a lot of phone calls, emails, texts. Hey, can you all come look at these horses? Hey, we hadn't considered selling this horse or that horse. It might be a real, you know, niche opportunity. You know, a lot of interest. You know, and I think people, as human beings, we, you know, a new idea is presented, and there's always curiosity, and there's always some energy surrounding that, and that's certainly been the case here. There's been a few people that told me we were crazy, that they didn't think it would work, and that's fine. There's, you know, very rarely in the world that we live in do you have 100% consensus on anything. And you know, for those folks, you know, certainly I understand that, you know, not every consigner is going to want to be supportive of the sale, but overwhelmingly it's been positively received throughout the industry, and you know, we're excited about it.
There's a lot more to come on this week's TDN podcast with Boyd Browning after this message from our good friends at TaylorMade.
TaylorMade, where customer success is our primary focus.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present Harvard of Grace.
7-10, you want to get 10 million on it, right here, we're going to get it, that's away now, 10, 10 to 10, here we're going to get it, 10. Bruce, right here, $10 million even.
TaylorMade, where customer success is our primary focus. But don't take our word for it, here's what some of our most satisfied customers have to say.
This is Brian Kahn, Los Angeles, California. I've been associated with, worked for, and been a client of TaylorMade and the TaylorMade family for close to 30 years now. Had great success with them. They've always been transparent and honest, and I always felt I was getting the right end of the deal with them. Highly recommend their services, from boarding, public sales, private sales. I've used all. All have been a success and a pleasure to deal with.
Here's longtime TaylorMade client Rick Porter of Fox Hill Farms, owner of numerous champions and Grade 1 winners, such as 2011 Horse of the Year, Havard of Grace.
I've been doing business with TaylorMade for over 20 years. Everyone knows they are the best sellers at auction, but they have also done great work for me in the private market. They have an unbelievable network that can help you buy or sell privately in a very professional and transparent way. I wish I had these guys working for me when I was in the car business.
Discover what TaylorMade can do for you. Visit TaylorMadeFarm.com.
Welcome back with Boyd Browning of Fasic Tipton. And Boyd, when you're talking about the horses at sales that go for huge numbers, seven figures and up, people are almost always looking for the same thing, a classic dirt horse who they hope will go on to be a sire. Do you expect this high-level buyer to participate in the turf sale as well?
Well, I would love to tell you I think we're going to have 5 yearlings that are going to sell for over $1 million in the inaugural showcase, but that I think that would be wildly optimistic. You know, I think we live in a world now where we've got a very sophisticated buying group, a very sophisticated buying population. and they're trying to find a good horse wherever it might be. They're looking for I'm not going to say value, but they're looking for the best of the best. I think the sale will have participation from many of the world's leading buyers, but I don't anticipate this year having a collection of 50 Kittens Joys and 50 War Fronts and things along those lines. I think this is a inaugural step. It looks like something that we hope that we can build on for many, many years to come from. And our hope and our dream is that in a year or two, we'll look up and we'll have a turf sale graduate. In a perfect world, we'd have a turf sale graduate win at Royal Ascot in 2018. Now, that's the perfect kickoff for us for the sale, whether it be for one of the major racing operations or somebody that comes over here and finds value and makes a great buy. But that would be, a perfect scenario. So I think there'll be a broad representation of buyers that'll include, some of the top racing operations in the world, as well as some savvy pinhookers, as well as some very, very, very good horsemen and horsewomen who have an affinity to race on the turf.
Boyd, we already talked about this, and we brought up Kittens Joy, and then you also mentioned how some of the major farms in this country are really opening their eyes about standing turf horses as stallions. And that is something, again, that even 5-6 years ago, you really wouldn't have seen. Can you point to anything in particular of why there is this changing philosophy? I think it's good for the game. I'm sure you think it's good for your sale. But why do you think this came about? What happened?
Well, I think we see in all aspects of commerce, the world's shrinking. You see Australian buyers coming to America. You see American operations setting up significant investments in Australia. You look at history and you look at the importation, the exportation of some of the top horses in the world into America and from America between America and Europe. I think it's a natural tendency to follow the historical trends, and we kind of went through a period of time where there probably wasn't as much of that in the last 15 years, but I think we're kind of seeing a reemergence of a global marketplace, of a global acceptance of quality horses. And we also live in a world now of so much information and communication. It's easy to know who the top stallion lines are, and it's easy to understand in the world the effect that Kittens Joy's had, as we mentioned earlier. So it's we live in a shrinking world, and it's an international marketplace.
And Boyd, if this sale exceeds your expectations or meets your expectations, do you think this can have even a further impact on the way people look at turf stallions in this country? I'll give you an example. If a horse were to win a Grade 2 turf race, and that was pretty much their career accomplishment, that horse doesn't even become a sire. Or if it does, it stands in a regional market. Could people start taking chances and maybe even, albeit for not a lot of money, but might that kind of horse be somebody that they would give a chance to as a sire?
Well, you would hope so. It's impossible to predict the future ramifications and where the stallion market will be. There might be several people that would argue with you right now that a Grade 2 winner on dirt doesn't have the same opportunities as he did, 5 or 10 years ago. So I don't want to, I'd be careful to I don't want to mislead anybody from the buying perspective and say, oh, great, if you have a Grade 2 winner, that there's going to be a significant stallion opportunity for him on either the dirt or the turf. But clearly, this is an opportunity. It might be a seed that gets planted that does help change the perception in both the breeding and the racing world.
And you mentioned this earlier, but again, another thing that I want to go back to is the world has always sort of been divided into two categories when it comes to dirt versus turf racing. North America is a dirt country, by and large, and everybody else is a grass country. That is starting to change, but clearly this is a perfect sale for foreign buyers. Would you expect that the majority of these horses will be bought by foreigners? And if not, maybe could you give us a prediction of what percentage might be bought by foreign interests versus North American interests?
Bill, the one thing I've learned in over 25 years in the thoroughbred industry is not to make any predictions, because undoubtedly you'll be wrong. And I hope you don't ask me for any handicapping tips in the Arkansas Derby next, because I won't give any of those either. It'd be impossible to make a prediction on that. I think a significant part of what we're trying to – or hoping to accomplish over the long term, though, is to change that mindset that you mentioned, that America is a dirt racing country only. Clearly, it's not. I mean, with 40% of the greatest stakes races being run on the turf, I think that you could ask the 100 leading owners in the United States, you could have asked them that question, 6 months ago or 3 months ago or 3 weeks ago, and I think that 40% would have shocked most of them as it did me. The other thing is a good horse is a good horse. You look at a horse like Teppan, who's obviously, one of our, famous graduates and, took Royal Ascot by storm last year. And is, we have enormous pride in her. Don't forget, she was a greatest stakes winner as a 2-year-old on dirt. It's hard to know where the, war front, and obviously has a turf pedigree, but he was primarily a dirt racehorse. And has obviously had a profound effect in the breeding shed and has produced both classic winners on both dirt and turf. So this game will prove you wrong pretty regularly. I think you're trying to create opportunities and you're trying to put people in the most advantageous position you can. That's what we hope to do.
Now, over the next couple months, your staff is going to have to say yes or say no to people who want to get into this sale. Here's the easiest yes possible. Buy Kitten's Joy out of a mare who won a stakes race on the grass. You welcome them with open arms. But, the number of horses that you get with that kind of credential might be somewhat limited. So beyond the obvious, what will you be looking for so far as the type of horse, or what leads you to say, confirmation aside, yes, you're a good candidate for our sale, or no, we really don't think you fit for this particular sale?
Well, and you mentioned the first and foremost requirement for us is going to be confirmation. That's what we've made our living on, that. That's what we've made our reputation on. And so confirmation is going to be first. The second is some turf characteristics. Stallion that had success on a turf, or the stallions produced a significant number of horses that have had enjoyed success on the turf. You look at the female, it might be the female family. The mare was a really good stakes performer herself, or the mare has really produced some quality stakes horses, turf performers. It's a combination of factors. There's no recipe. There's no one, we don't have a scoring criteria that says you got to get to, X number to meet for the showcase. The one advantage I hope that we've got, and one of the great tools that we've got, is a really experienced and a really knowledgeable group of people on our team. On the selection and inspection team, we've got really strong men and women that understand the marketplace, and we're going to trust and rely on their judgment and their horsemanship to make the sale a success.
Boyd, even if the sale is a success, is there any worry whatsoever that it could water down your more traditional your more traditional yearling sales, like the one at Saratoga, that you might lose 5 really nice horses from that sale who will wind up in this sale? Is there a going back and forth feeling that you're not going to kill your other sales, but you just might harm them a tiny little bit?
No, that's one of the things that I think we've probably been a little reluctant in the past to make sure we didn't have any cannibalization of our other sales or our other markets. And it's always something you evaluate before you introduce a new concept. But, I don't think that's the case. Our Saratoga market has been traditionally supported, not exclusively, but predominantly by, American, American two-turn dirt horses, both buyers and sellers. And we expect that to continue. Will we have some Kitten's Joys at Saratoga? Absolutely. We hope we have some really nice ones at Saratoga. But we also live in a world where, you know, you can't have, you know, there's some real advantages to being able to, you know, showcase or spotlight the right horse in the right environment. Sales placement is really important in the world that we live in. And I think that the more opportunities that we have to showcase a horse, to make a horse to stand out, really does create some advantages for the sellers. So I'm not at all concerned about cannibalization of our other sales.
After this ad from TaylorMade, we'll look at other things going on with Fasic Tipton, one of the nation's leading sales companies. Stay with us.
And here it is. The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
Over the past four decades, TaylorMade has risen from a small boarding operation to the worldwide leader in thoroughbred sales and marketing. Here's Hall of Fame trainer Jerry Hollendorfer.
TaylorMade sales follow many horses that are training at the racetrack, and they are particularly adept at evaluating mares and placing them with a proper stallion after their racing careers are over. They are very straightforward and are also experts on confirmation of younger weanlings and yearlings.
My name is Tia Andrini, and I am from San Mateo, California. I've been doing business with TaylorMade for about a year now, and it's been one great experience after another. It started with my first TaylorMade venture when I bought an interest in the filly Catherine Sophia, which ultimately landed me 3 weeks later in the middle of the winner's circle of the 2016 Kentucky Oaks with her. The TaylorMade team is a group of truly outstanding individuals. They are knowledgeable, professional, and completely customer service driven. To me, the TaylorMade name epitomizes the term trusted advisor. That is exactly what they are, and I am very proud to be associated and doing business with them.
Discover what TaylorMade can do for you. Visit TaylorMadeFarm.com.
Well, it seems like every day when you pick up the Thoroughbred Daily News, the sales companies are making news. Fasic Tipton, as we know, has just announced the turf sale. Fasic Tipton only recently moved its two-year-old sale to Gulfstream and put in a $1 million bonus to anyone who came out of that sale and won the Derby. It took only 1 year for Nyquist to collect on that, as he won the Derby coming out of that sale to get the $1 million bonus. And Keeneland just announced a bonus scheme for owners and sellers of graduates from the Keeneland September sale who win Grade 1 races. And Boyd, the competition for top yearling prospects or two-year-olds obviously is very hot and heavy at the time. Why is that? Why is this market so hot, and why are the sales companies, you know, really competing tooth and nail to get the best horses right now?
Well, I think it's I think it's like any business. Competition is healthy for the marketplace. Every successful person I've ever met in my life has had a competitive instinct and a competitive drive, and in the marketplace is best served when there's competition. And not only is there competition domestically, there's competition internationally. I mean, we see, you know, the European sales companies recruiting horses and recruiting buyers to participate in those markets. Everybody wants to be associated with the best. We want to sell the best horses. We want to have the best sales. We want to have the best marketplace. And I think that's human nature for us and for our competitors. And I think that the buyers and the sellers are enhanced and rewarded by good, strong, competitive competition. And it's human nature, and we're gonna continue to work hard to serve the marketplace as will our competitors. And I think that's it's good, healthy competition. And I think that the marketplace is well served by it.
Boyd, we've already learned that you don't like to be in the prediction business. So again, I'm not going to ask you who's going to win the Arkansas Derby, but this is your specialty. So I do have to ask you this. You and your team are already starting to recruit. I mean, you're like college basketball coaches going around to high schools. And everybody's always interested in the freshman sires. So far as, be it the turf sale or, again, the more traditional dirt sales, who are the buzz freshman sires? Who are the ones that you think are going to knock it out of the park this year?
You know, Bill, it's I'm going to dodge that question too. I'm just going to tell you straight up. I mean, because we've got, you know, there's a first crop of 2 year olds on the market, on the ground, that we, you know, we had the opportunity to sell at Gulfstream this year. We've got some really exciting 2 year old sales prospects in our upcoming sale in Mid Atlantic. That first group of 2 year olds hitting the racetrack. The great thing about this business is we're also, you know, visiting farms every day right now, looking at first crop yearlings. So we're seeing some first crop yearlings, and there's some really exciting prospects in that group. And at the same time, you're visiting the farms and you're talking to people and you're saying, you know, well, you know, how's foaling season going? What's happening? And, you know, you got any good babies on the ground by these freshman sires? So there's three crops out there already that are kind of the new horses. Hope springs eternal. And that's the greatest thing about our business, is that we're all optimists that participate in it. We all think that, you know, we've got a good one of this or a good one of that, and he or she's, you know, got the potential, and they might be the right horse. And if I promise you, if I was able to predict and see the future of who was going to be the top leading, you know, the best first-year, two-year-old sire this year, or the best freshman sire of a yearling, I probably wouldn't have to be doing this podcast with you. I'd be having my own little island somewhere and owning a significant interest in those horses. So, but it's what makes it exciting. I mean, it's what makes it, you know, the enthusiasm, the anticipation of that next group of horses coming onto the racetrack or coming into the sales ring. You know, I think it gets us all revved up, and you know, it's what makes it such a interesting game and an interesting business. And, you know, some of the successes that we've seen in recent years, you know, the most expensive stallion in the United States is Tappet, and he's standing for $300,000. But when he started, he stood for $15,000. When Warfront started, he started for initially, I believe, was $10,000 or $12,500, and now he's standing for $250,000. So if guys and gals like me and our team, if we were smart enough to know who the next Tappet was going to be, we'd be smarter owning them rather than participating than you know, working for 5% on a sales company basis. But it's a really, you know, that's what makes it great. It's what makes the racing game great. If somebody knew who the next great racehorse was going to be, the richest man and the richest woman would own them all.
Sure.
And there's opportunities that are created out there every day. You know, today we'll be watching races and we'll be seeing, you know, does so-and-so have a, you know, an emerging star on a Derby trail. You know, if Malagasy wins the Arkansas Derby, we're really proud of him. He's a Timonium sales graduate, and our Maryland sales coming up in a month. So we'll be having a TDN ad. He can be sure in the morning if he wins impressively today. So that's the great thing about our business. There's always something to look forward to, and there's new and emerging opportunities every day.
Right. Well, I'll take you off the hook a little bit because it is worth mentioning. Let's just go back, and this is not even a question, but let's put it on the record. The best-selling first crop weanling sires last year, who now will be represented by yearlings, just so people have an idea of what freshman sires will be looking for, were, and I don't know if this is in any particular order, but were Will Take Charge, Noble Mission, who is Frankel's full brother, Cairo Prince, Verrazano, and Fed Biz, so we'll be looking for them at this year's yearling sales.
And they're into the stretch, and it's Nyquist. Nyquist has taken the lead on the outside. Gunrunner, second at the rail. Five lengths back to Destin in third. And they come to the final furlong. Exaggerator is closing in. Nyquist to catch with a 16th to go. Gunrunner, Exaggerator on the outside. Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Well, I'm sure that's music to your ears, boy, because Nyquist was sold at the aforementioned Facek Tipton Gulfstream sale of two-year-olds. And in year two of the sale, the numbers were very good across the board. In every single category possible, they were up fairly significantly. Was this a Nyquist effect? How much did he affect this sale? People saw what can happen when they buy at this sale and that extra $1 million that got put into Mr. Redham's pocket.
You know, I think it certainly helps, particularly in a new sale in a new location. And all of the sale itself wasn't new, it was in a new location. And certainly the performance of Nyquist coming off of the Gulfstream racetrack sure helped propel the sale. It gave it instant credibility, gave people an instant level of comfort and confidence to be supportive and to be active at the sale. And there's no greater advertisement for a sale whatever the sale you're type you're having, then it happens. Successful graduates, success draws interest. It creates confidence and credibility in the marketplace. And certainly, it was a we were very pleased and fortunate to have Nyquist win the Derby last year. We've gone back to back with American Pharoah and Nyquist now, and we've got our fingers crossed for 2017.
Well, it's a wonderful world out there for owners right now, because not only do you have the Kentucky Derby at $2 million, but we've seen something that, again, is just mind-blowing. Pegasus World Cup will be worth $16 million in 2018 after being run for $12 million in 2017. Everybody's waiting with bated breath to see what Sheikh Mohammed might do with the Dubai World Cup. Personally, and this is just my thought, I wouldn't be surprised if he makes it a $20 million horse race. We're in an era now where a horse like Arrowgate can earn $17 million in 8 career starts. The sales in general, do you think they're going to see a boost this fall simply because of this astronomical money out there in these two races alone? Is everybody going to be looking to buy the next winner of the Pegasus World Cup or the Dubai World Cup, knowing that they can put tremendous amounts of money into their pockets if they get lucky enough?
It sure helps. I mean, I think at the top end of the market, people are looking for a quote-unquote long ball opportunity. 2 years ago, the long ball opportunity was pretty much limited from a financial perspective to the breeding shed, to the stallion operation, stallion valuation. And as you mentioned, we're literally seeing the rules change right now with, you know, what we saw with California Chrome accomplish on the racetrack, what we're seeing Arrowgate accomplish on the racetrack. I mean, it is like you kind of get goosebumps if you sit there and you say, you know, well, what could happen with Arrowgate over the next 12 months? And it's like, wow. I mean, it's wow what he's already done, but if you say, you know, could he run the table and how much more money could he earn? And it's like, it's mind-boggling to consider those numbers compared to where we were a couple of years ago. So when a man or a woman is thinks they've identified, you know, the top colt or, you know, a major colt, it's got to give them a little confidence and it's got to give them a little encouragement to bid another time, or we hope or two, or we hope or three, to secure what they believe are the best athletes available in the marketplace. Has to help.
Well, Boyd, we congratulate Fasic Tipton on all the success they've had recently, selling Nyquist, etc., American Pharoah. We congratulate you especially on your out-of-the-box thinking with the innovative ideas like the turf sale. We wish you luck. Hopefully you're going to sell another Kentucky Derby winner with this year's 2017 Derby just right around the corner. We thank our sponsor, TaylorMade. Boyd Browning, you've been terrific. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Okay. Thank you, Bill.